Burl Swartz. He is the publisher and also a reporter for the Lansing City Pulse. Burl, how are you?
I'm just fine, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. A couple stories to talk to you about. First of all, what's going on with the mayor and Kelly Rossman McKinney? She has been a great supporter of his, and he recently asked her to resign from the Lansing Economic Development Corporation. Tell me about this story.
Well, I think it's personal, and I think it goes back a few years ago to when the mayor's biggest political enemy, Carol Wood's mother, was murdered. Kelly is a friend of Carol Wood's. Kelly helped with the funeral arrangements and helped set up a press conference, and not terribly long after that, the mayor pulled a contract from Kelly's firm, a city contract from Kelly's firm, and Kelly was quite outspoken about it. When we asked her why she thought it happened, she said she thought it happened because she's friends with Carol, and the mayor has never denied that, which is not like the mayor. He's quite bombastic when he thinks somebody has said something about him that's wrong. And then flash forward to just a month or so ago, when at the preview breakfast for his State of the City speech, Kelly tweeted what the mayor said, and I think we can say this, he referred to one of his Indian opponents as a piece of crap. One of his casino opponents, rather, who was also an Indian, and also referred to that Indian opponent as Chief Chicken Little. Kelly tweeted that from that exclusive breakfast and also told us, an historian we reported in the City Pulse, that she was stunned by the mayor's remarks. And the mayor is a get-even guy. He saw an opportunity here. Now, Kelly has, I think, did have a conflict of interest, which was why she recused herself from voting on the casino proposal at the EDC meeting. And she did not tell us that she had a conflict of interest. When we asked her about that in the context of that story about the mayor's casino remarks, she told us she had no conflict. It turns out that she had actually represented the tribe that wants the casino, not since 2004, two companies ago for her when she was had Rossman Martin and Associates, and that her partner in her current company, John Truscott, had at least informal conversations with one of the principals in the investment casino investment group, Lansing Future LLC. So I think it's personal, but I also think Kelly actually did have at least a minor conflict of interest, an old conflict of interest on this one.
We have contacted the mayor's office and Randy Hannon to get the mayor's take on this. They have not responded to emails or phone calls. The mayor's an interesting person to try and understand. I can remember when he lost the first mayor's race against Tony Benavides, and I can recall being at a Lansing Chamber event with him and having a beer with him and telling him how I thought it was wrong for Benavides to go after the mayor and the mayor's kid, because they weren't at the time attending Lansing schools, and Benavides was all over that in a negative way. I can remember having a conversation about a week ago with a church organization, the Church of Greater Lansing, and how they had met with the mayor to ask how they can service the city. They told him they did not support the casino, but that they would pray for him, and the individual who I was talking with told me that the mayor was taken aback that someone could disagree with him, yet he was almost emotional that they wanted to pray for him and pray for his success. So when you see these types of actions, yet these kind of vindictive actions, they kind of contradict each other.
Well, mayor, I find the mayor one of the most interesting people I've ever covered in politics. You know, he's got these wide range of emotions, and you know, you never know. You just really never know say to you, we have a standing rule. If you're going to call me up and you want me to talk to you, don't yell at me. And I've gotten voicemail messages when I didn't happen to answer the phone when she said, "No, I'm not yelling at you. I just want to tell you something."
Maybe he doesn't yell at me because I'm about almost a foot taller than him. I want to talk to you about another interesting topic. There is, from what I understand, legislation, or is it just a rule from some stores? I know Meijer wants to take all of the publications out of his stores. He wants to clean those out of that, and that would include you. Tell me about this and how it would affect Atlantic City Post.
Well, Meijer, of course, has every right to decide what's in their stores. And they've made a decision for not just City Pulse, not just this market, but all free publications in all 199 Meijer stores in five states. They don't want free publications anymore. Now, they say it is an aesthetic problem. They don't like the way the racks look in their entryways. The odds are, if you've been in Meijer and you've seen those red racks at the entrances, we rent space on those red racks from a national distribution company that in turn pays Meijer for being there. And it's not just us. It's the New Citizens Press, the Michigan Bulletin, Wheeler Dealer, a number of apartment guides, and so on, all free publications. And it's we have been told by a very well-placed source with connections to Meijer that it's a cost of labor issue. They don't want employees picking up discarded publications. But Meijer denies that. It says it has nothing to do with that. It's strictly appearance. They don't like the way those racks look. But, they have not, they don't have a plan for replacing them. Consequently, we're all out. We just put our last issue in Meijer yesterday, and we have mounted a quite a campaign to try to get Meijer to see that it has become an important hub of community information, and we're asking the public to tell their Meijer store managers that you want to keep City Pulse there. We have over 3,000 papers picked up a week at the eight Meijer stores in the greater Lansing area. You can sign a petition at LansingCityPulse.com. There's a flyer in this week's paper that if you can sign that and hand that to your manager, their email address is email address on there if you want to do it that way. But we hope if you care about the free flow of information that you'll let Meijer know you'd like to keep all these free publications there. It's not just about us, but it is certainly about us in the sense that it is going to reduce our circulation quite a bit until we can build it back up.
But it's not their responsibility. There's no obligation, especially at a free cost to
it's
those
entities.
Do you have to pay?
They get, I'm told by Wheeler Dealer, which services those racks, that they get $120 per rack, per door, per store. That's $240 a month per store. That all goes to the bottom line.
What do you pay, Burrell?
I pay $20 per shelf. So I'm paying $280 a month total for the Lansing area. So it's definitely not free, but it is free. These are free publications to the public.
But as I was just saying, they're under no obligations legally or morally to do this. They just have been.
Legally, no, Tony. They have become an important hub of community information, and they're going to have to make a decision. Personally, I think you can put it aside legally and morally. I think you should look at it from a business point of view. Got 3,000 customers a week picking up their City Pulse there. And I can tell you, many of these customers are people who were not getting City Pulse before. So it is at least a little part of the incentive for going to Meijer. They can pick up their City Pulse, Michigan Bulletin, New Citizens Press, Wheeler Dealer, all those publications in space, in the lobbies, that can't be used for merchandise because you're not going to put a cash register outside the door. You know, we're talking about that area where you come in, but before you're in the store proper. I think they could serve their customers better and serve the public need for information better if they put up with racks that they may find a little unpleasing to the eye.
Burrell, have you had any conversations with anybody from Meijer?
Oh, yeah, they have reached out to me. They said that I spoke to a gentleman who is in charge of their magazine and book department for the whole chain. He said, we had no idea it was on those racks, and now they're dealing with me. They're dealing with a publication in Dayton, Ohio, and he mentioned another market where the public seems to really want them kept in. But so far what they have offered me is space on the magazine rack, which might accommodate 25, 30 papers and will have to be kept filled because Meijer does not like empty shelves, which I completely understand, but it becomes a rather expensive proposition to get in there every day and refill them. It's not like a magazine where you have a pretty good idea how many are going to be picked up and you have space for that many. But they have said that the temporary solution is they are trying to figure out a way to give us more space, but not back in the entryway where, frankly, it's far more visible and accessible to the public.
All right, Burrell, before I let you go, what's your take on the progress of the process for the Lansing Casino? What are you hearing? What do you see? What do you think?
Well, you know, I think everything's moving along rather quickly. There may be some questions about whether, you know, it's too quick. City Council is trying to slow it down because they're not happy with the information they're getting. But, you know, the big question is, where is it going to go legally? If this gets bogged down, it's going to get bogged down in court and at the Interior Department in Washington. So I don't think we really know yet what's ahead.
Thanks so much, Burrell.
You're very welcome, Tony. Take care.